In 16th century France, the start of the new year was observed on April 1st. Then, in 1562, Pope Gregory introduced a new calendar, which had the new year beginning on January 1st. There were some people who hadn't heard or didn't believe the change in the date, so they continued to celebrate New Year's Day on April 1st. Others played pranks and tricks on those people. They became known as April Fools. WGUC continues the April Fool's tradition by having fun with classical music. Since the tradition began in Europe, we began our fun with England's Michael Flanders and Donald Swan.
It has long been my earnest wish to improve the standard of the music we have in these shows of ours.
Thank you very much.
Not at all, my dear sir.
Nothing, but you know that nobody has a higher opinion of your work than you do yourself. I simply meant we should have some more good music. And to this end, I have been practicing the horn, or French horn, as they call it. German horn, as the French call it, not to be confused with the cor anglais. It's a marvelous instrument. I took it up because I very much wanted to play the music of Mozart, in particular his wonderful horn concerto in E-flat, Kirchel rating 495, which he wrote at the age of about 18 months. That's a marvelous man. I practiced it very hard against considerable opposition, I may say. And I had hoped this evening to give you the very first performance of the last movement, the Rondo Allegro Vivace. Owing to curious circumstances as yet unexplained, I am not able to do this. I can only tell you why. I once had a whim and I had to obey it, to buy a French horn in a second-hand shop. I polished it up and I started to play it, in spite of the neighbors who begged me to stop. To sound my horn, I had to develop my embouchure. I found my horn was a bit of a devil to play, so artfully wound, to give you a sound, a beautiful sound, so rich and round. Oh, the hours I had to spend before I mastered it in the end. But that was yesterday, and just today I looked in the usual place. There was the case, but the horn itself was missing. Oh, where can it have gone? Haven't you? Hasn't anyone seen my horn? Oh, where can it have gone? What a blow! Now I know I'm unable to play my Allegro. Who swiped that horn? I bet you a quid somebody did, knowing I found a concerto and wanted to play it, afraid of my talent at playing the horn. For early today, to my utter dismay, it had vanished away like the dew in the morn. Tutti. I've lost that horn. I know I was using it yesterday. I've lost that horn. Lost that horn. Found that horn. Gone. The stock of my chosen pay a reward. I know some hearty folk whose party jokes pretended to hunt with the quorn. Gone away, gone away. Was it one of them took it away? Will you kindly return that horn? Oh, where is the devil who pinched my horn? I shall tell the police I want that French horn back. I miss its music more and more and more. Without that horn, I'm feeling sad and so forlorn. I found a concerto and wanted to play it this way. My talent of playing the horn, but early today, to my utter dismay, it had totally vanished away. I wanted to play it, but somebody took it away. I practiced the horn and was longing to play it, but somebody took it away. My neighbor's asleep in his bed. I'll soon make him wish he were dead. I'll take up the tuba instead. Wah, wah.
Before becoming famous in America with the Pink Panther movies, Peter Sellers performed many times on the BBC, including this hip skit.
Well now, Mr. Iron, what are your plans for the future?
Oh, I don't know.
What is that?
I reckon that I'm going to stick around doing what I am for a while, and rocking and rolling, you know, and singing all that sort of stuff. And then I like to leave that part of the show business altogether, and I like to branch out in the straight side, you know. I like to have go at the old straight act, you know, and I want to throw off this guitar, you know. I mean, it's walking around with that around your neck all the time. People get sick and tired of that. I mean, you know, you start to get a new gimmick, like the guitar, and all the other fellas flog it to death for you. See, they're all at it now. Yes, I suppose they are. Do you find it's a hindrance, this guitar, for you? Well, I wouldn't say it's a hindrance. I mean, you know, I mean, I can't sort of bite the hand that fed me, or the fretboard that fed me. No, coin a phrase. And no, I'm you know, jolly grateful and all that for what it's done for me. I mean, you know, it's brought me up from nothing to, well, you know, a star of stage, screen and radio and all that. But, and records, of course. But I reckon it, you know, I think it's played itself out now. So what do you intend to do? Well, we've been, some friends and I, we've been mucking about with some of the classics that the public don't know about. You know, some things have been hid away in the archives for hundreds of years. We came across one the other day. It was the Trumpet Voluntary.
Do you mean the Trumpet Voluntary by Purcell?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that's a fellow. Yeah, that's right, Purcell, yeah. Well, take something like that, you see, and get in quick with it into television, see? Because that's the place to work them sort of songs. You want to get in quick with them, otherwise you breathe a word, you know, around Charing Cross Road, and 10 fellas have done it before you got out your front door.
Yes, yes, I suppose they have. And what do you intend to do with the Trumpet Voluntaire?
Well, first of all, we're going to do a new arrangement of it completely, get a nice sort of beat going behind it, and, well, you know, something for the kids to like, to, you know, do a bit of jive to.
Do you hope to sell a lot of records?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've sold a lot of records as it is anyway. I mean, you know, as I was saying, I've come up now to a big star from nothing. I mean, my mother, I bought her an house in Epping Forest, just by the swamp there, and my dad, I got him a new 1932 Ford. Well, new, I mean, it's done up, you know, but it looks new now. And with my earnings. I mean, you know, when you like a fella like me, you come from nothing, and suddenly rocketed into stardom. I mean, you know, you've got to sort of keep your feet on the ground, or people go around saying you're a bit of a big-headed. Yes, yes.
Yes, I see. Well, I suppose you know that this Trumpet Voluntary, Purcell, has been attributed to Jeremiah Clarke.
Who?
Jeremiah Clarke.
Oh, yeah, well, no, I didn't know that. As a matter of fact, no. I mean, what do you mean attributed it to?
Well, some people say that it was written by Jeremiah Clarke.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know whether he wrote it or not. I mean, I'm not going to stand here and say he did or he didn't. I mean, it's not my concern, is it? I mean, all I know is out of copyright, you see. That's all that we're bothered about. Yes. Yes, I've got true.
Well, jolly, jolly good. Perhaps we can hear some of this Trumpet Voluntary.
Yes, yes, very, very good, very good.
Well, that's nothing, mate. Go on, run now. Let's sort of set it up, you know, get it going.
Blow, dig them cats, screaming, deep plays a last train to postpone. Rock, 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 everybody rock. Grab your doll, have a ball, cut a rock, have a roll. Rock, rock, all you cats and chicks to the trumpet voluntary rock. Don't knock a rock, cup, don't mock the roll.
Well, that's very interesting. Tell me, Mr. Iron, do you have any plans for any further records of this nature?
Well, yeah. Matter of fact, my managers and me are working on Beethoven's Choral Symphony. I reckon, you know, you can do quite a lot with that. And we're doing Brunjak's New World thing by Virgin Radak. And several other bits, by Ravel, and some others. What are just out of copyright. I mean, you've got to wait for him to be dead a few years, but then we're going to whip in and have a go at them, as I say.
Yes, well, I'm sure that a lot of people will be very pleased to hear that. What try and play that record of yours to Sir Thomas Beecham? I'm sure he'll enjoy it.
We will, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was Peter Sellers. And now for something completely different. It's Monty Python at the Royal Festival Hall for a rather interesting concert.
Good evening. Welcome to the Festival Hall for the first of three concerts given by Emile Gilbert to celebrate the 131st anniversary of the birth of Tchaikovsky. Gilbert starts tonight with Tchaikovsky's Contessa Padovana. Oh dear, Gilbert has trodden on his violin. He's put his foot through the bridge and sat on the soundpost. Is he going to attempt to finish the piece? I think he is. He's picked up the sound case and fingerboard of this beautiful 17th century instrument, actually made by Nicola Amati at Cremona, and he's trying to wedge them under his chin. But no, it's no good. The applause you can hear now is because the leader of the orchestra is going over to Gilbert to lend him his own violin. By no means a lesser instrument than Gilbert's. It is, in fact, a Stradivarius. So this is a very sporting gesture. And now Gilbert prepares once again to play Tchaikovsky's Contessa Padovana. Oh dear, the end's come off. He's caught the peg box in one of the uprights of his music stand, and in trying to get it out with his ear, he's completely snapped off the fingerboard. What a pity. I've certainly never seen this happen before in the festival hall, and the leader of the orchestra's not looking very pleased. In fact, he's punched Gilbert in the face. There's a bit of blood, but Gilbert has managed to snatch another instrument from the second violins, and he's climbing off the way up towards the organ, and he's going to have yet another bash at Tchaikovsky's Contessa Padovana. And he's crushed the soundbox with his chin on the second bar there. This really isn't his day. And now the conductor, Otto Klemperer, is hopping across the stage towards Gilbert and trying to poke at him with a stick. I must say this is amazing. It's the first time in the festival hall that I've seen a violinist of Gilbert's caliber poked with a stick. And one of the oboists has leapt onto Klemperer's back and is pulling his hair out. I must say it's wonderful to see the loyalty which a great soloist like Gilbert can still command amongst his fellow musicians. In fact, several of the cellists have thrown off their clothes and are making a vast human pyramid, standing a full 30 feet above the smoke and flames drifting across from the blazing wind section. And through the smoke I can see, yes, I can see the timpanist, one of Britain's best, has lashed himself and a Japanese friend to the kettle drum and is rolling off the stage towards the pit of ordure that has opened up under the first six rows of the stalls. Whilst throughout this, the rather unpleasant business of prizing Gilbert out from between the organ pipes is being undertaken by men of the Royal Engineers. And Gilbert is half out. He's got an army violin, and he's having another go at the Contesano Padovano, and he's playing beautifully. Oh, but oh dear! One of the Royal Engineers has stuck a crowbar through his chest, and he's dropped the violin. And these very fit young leopards have pounced upon it and are already taking bits of it across to Herr Willy Brandt on the other side of the stage. Well, the police have erected barriers now to keep people away from the rubble, and as fighters swoop down to bomb the last pockets of resistance, we go on to the next part of our programme. The Sonatina in E-sharp by Antonio Vivaldi, played by a Pablo Casals during his 400-foot plunge into a bucket of boiling fat.
Classic Monty Python. WGUC celebrates April Fool's Day on WGUC.org. Oh, by the way, your shoe's untied.